It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Thank you for joining me, and hope we can have a good time today and chit and chat. And anyway, real quick, I got an email here the other day, but the dates have already passed. But right now, there is for the sea fodder, the for the handy van users meeting. There is the air dates. I want to let you know what they are. Right now, it's on Olelo. As I speak, on View 54. So if you want to run and watch that and listen to me, or watch that and don't listen to me. But anyway, it has information there regarding schedules and new buses and whatever. And some of the debate that was going on in the meetings back in February. Also, it will be re-aired again at 1 o'clock on Focus 49 on Olelo. So, again, it's occurring right now on Olelo at View 54 channel, and tomorrow at 1 p.m. at Focus 49. And hopefully that helped a bit. And I did get a response from Border Water Supply, and I'll be talking about that later on. And a little bit of update on the veterans, U.S. vets, and you can tell the skilled ones over there. I'll hold my comments, most of them, to later. But from what I'm learning with this program, the veterans program, and I'm a veteran, and I hope, like heck, I never have to go and use their services, because you might as well turn in your passport, your ID, and everything else. They will treat you like a third-class citizen. It's as if you're wanting something from them, when their whole existence is Veterans Administration. If you didn't have the veterans, then you wouldn't have to need an administration. So, but we're going to talk about that, some of the new developments over there at the hellhole called the YWCA, in my opinion. The YWCA helped, is partnering with the U.S. vets, and through a grant from the United States Veterans Administration, and the YWCA's mantra is eliminating racism. But I can only tell you, I had some of them on the show here when we did the Vincent Chin. So I'm concerned that the YWCA, if it's good for whatever their cause is, apparently it appears that, because when the parties complain to them that lives at that facility, they turn the shoulders, turn the backs on them. And these are veterans. And there's just some things there that this program, I, in my opinion, I think they should do away with it, because there's no accountability. There's Ron Hahn, who's the administrator, Andrew Dahlberg, that whole cadre of people. They need a reality check and understand what their purpose is over there. But we're going to talk about that. And again, you keep hearing me talk about that stale meat. Meat that was 4 months old, and I updating this. It sounds like I'm repeating myself, but you cannot believe, or won't believe, that instead of apologizing and reflecting shame, or just feeling that they owe these veterans much more, they have intensified the quote investigation to sit down and rewind a videotape of veterans going into the refrigerator. And I say that Ron Hahn, the U.S. Veterans Administration, U.S. vets, if you can't trust your clients with going into the refrigerator and getting meat that's 4 months old, expired, has exceeded the expiration date for 4 months. And if you can't trust them to open that refrigerator and take a coffee creamer or whatever, how are you going to refer these people out to a merchant who might want to hire a cashier? Can that merchant trust these people? This is what you're saying. If you can't trust them with the refrigerator, then why would you send them out? And what is that saying about your program? So those of you that contribute to these programs and all, I would suggest, for the sake of the veterans, not for argument, not for doing anything other than step back and see what is going on. There is something terrible, I mean terribly wrong, with this program. Just the other day, for example, while we were talking about the stale meat, four-month-old expired meat, they apparently heard the show last week, the veterans and YWCA, and they went over and dumped untold quarts or liters of soda, Coke and Sprite and Orange Crush, you know, soft drink, that had expired in June of last year. Now, what's the big deal? I know the food bank serves and provide food, and it's okay to eat expired canned food, and you know, in some instances. But in this situation, this is a program that is funded through as a portion of $28.4 million for 30-some facilities around the nation. And we're feeding the veterans. And I know I do apologize for sounding repetitive and repeating the same thing, but apparently Ron Hahn is the orchestrator of this, because when you give a grant to someone, you put in place checks and balances. You don't just hand them the money. Apparently we do now. Apparently that is the common practice with government entities. They get their favorites and they hand money off to them, and they watch the front door, they being the Veterans Administration or other government entities, watch the front door while the vendor wreak havoc on the clients or the public, whether it's security guards guarding the docks. They can walk up to you and initiate some actions that normally would be illegal. But because they are hired, they tend to get away with certain things. And so I encourage all of you to, if you do care or are interested in this, ask Ron Hahn, Andrew Dahlberg, the Veterans Administration from San Francisco, and all of those people that walk around with fancy clothing and suits on and get on the plane to fly over here. They are doing an injustice to the veterans and to the taxpayer, because it's an insult. No one should be eating meat now. That in a can of food, you have preservatives and you have salt and sodium that is kind of give you a little bit of playing room. But the bacteria and all of that associated with meat, you know, this is just wrong. And I wish I could not have to talk about this. But when you're intensifying your investigations and you haven't provided one solid class of vocational, they're over there in that facility, folks, they're doing paper mache and scattergory and what have you. Now, I know that's quality time and you're socializing, but then once you learn those social skills of playing scattergory with one another, you dare not go into the refrigerator and like you would be at home or your surroundings are enriched, like you know, because if you do, the fact that they, the YWCA and the U.S. vets, would have a video of a refrigerator, videotaping the kitchen. And are they worried about food safety? No, because if you were, you wouldn't put rotten meat or expired meat in the refrigerator with other foods. Because bacteria and mold and what have you. You just wouldn't do it. So, in other words, whatever's in that refrigerator, apparently, it reminds me of that congressman from Jefferson from Louisiana who kept his cash that he was making illegally in the freezer. So maybe that's what they're guarding, because if you got four-month-old meat, expired meat in the refrigerator, and you can't let an adult veteran go in, and you apparently, I hope you didn't buy that old stale meat. So it was given to you, but now you have to manage it as if it's a... And I know there's a commingling. They would probably call up and say, well, we share the refrigerator with the U.S. vets and our tenants, the YWCA. That shouldn't happen, see. Because the idea is that you're trying to afford the veteran comfort and to simulate, or not just simulate, to provide the comfort of home, to make that person, and from there that person can operate from a base, less stress, and maybe get himself or herself together. And I said I'd talk about it later, but I guess I'll stick to the track here and do this one and talk to you about it. But so I'm encouraged that I'm having some impact, that if I learn, and I'm going to post some pictures up of the meat, the box with the date on it, and I'll also post some pictures of the sodas that were there, expired in June of last year. And so, guys, your reaction will be to go out and find out who told. I'd encourage you to go take the money you get from that $28 million, your portion, and buy some healthy and decent food. Cokes are not that good for you anyway, especially if you're in New York, and the Big Gulp. But if you're over here, they'll give you some, and it could be months old, expired. So there's something to be said about this program. But I'm encouraged that what I'm doing and what I'm saying here it helps. And it offers some hope, because very little oversight. And the reality is there are men and women, veterans, that are killing themselves, committing suicide, because things have gone wrong in their lives anyway. And the guy that reaches out to them through a program called the Veterans Administration reaches down and lifts him up and start to body slam him. Start to slap him around and tell him, you can't leave here and come back 2 hours later. You got to walk out that door and come back and click your heels and sign in and sign out, and don't touch the refrigerator, and you better clean your room, and you got to do all of that, and be available if they need to take a picture of you. Don't take pictures in the inside. This will drive you nuts. But I'm encouraged again, and I don't want to sound like a broken record, but recently I received, and I'm going to leave the name out. It's not that normally, you know, my policy and belief is don't leave the names out, name the names. But in this, there's a vindictive climate there in the U.S. veterans, the U.S. Facility that's there, as described by some of the clients. The United States Veterans Administration, headed by Ron Hahn, is a hand-off, leave me alone, let me do my thing, I got me a good job, I'm going to do this, I'm going to talk fancy, walk fancy, and screw the veterans. Because the YWCA program, that program they're partnering, there should be, and I've spoken with Ron Hahn, having to abruptly cancel the conversation with him, because he's going to tell me what he wants to hear. But the reality is there should be checks and balances. You don't give a vendor your money and have little or no oversight. And you don't have human beings there at the taking the brunt of these behaviors or the unskilled people that are supposedly handling their expert. Where does the veteran turn to? Who does the veteran turn to? They are allowing the U.S. vets to inspect and investigate themselves. Caller, good morning. You have a comment or question?
Hi, Carol. You know, shame on them. You know, it reminds me way too much of the Next Step shelter and how they were very nonchalant. They just mistreated the folks. And, you know, anytime we try and provide something like a comfort, like, God, we had to go through amazing just to get a morning cup of coffee, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. It was like it was almost like they don't want you to, they want you to suffer. They don't want you to have any kind of comfort or anything like that. And there again, that place had many times there was stale food, bad food that came into there. Mm-hmm. Let them eat cake, let them just, yeah. you know.
Well, one of the things, and listeners out there, I just hope you understand, I'm not beating this into the ground. These are real things. And if you'll hold on, Dave, I want to share. As I do these shows, I get emails back from different individuals. I get phone calls from veterans. And here's one recent one. And I began to say, I'll leave the name out because I don't. This Veterans Administration is a vindictive bunch of people. I will just tell you that up front. And even when they talk to a person that's external to the system, like myself, who's calling to inquire and alert them that there's something wrong, they treat me with a long stick too. They keep at a distance. You're interfering. Your intruder alert goes off. It's that kind of thing. But here's a letter that I got. Aloha. I understand you just did a piece on the U.S. Vets program. Thank you. And you'll be saving lives if you continue to spotlight them. I'm not kidding. I spent around 18 months there and was certainly helped and am very appreciative of that. However, there are serious problems there. And in the final analysis, anything but 100% honesty and caring in regards to the vets results in one more failure, likely resulting in one more death. I was in the band there, and two Christmases ago, I stood right next to the director as he received $2,000 worth of $25 gift cards from a veteran support group. 2 months later, they still hadn't been given out, even though we'd been asking for an accounting and status report at the nightly meetings for weeks. I finally got disgusted with it and mentioned it covertly to a reporter who was on site for another reason. The very next day, some of the cards were handed out. How many came? How many came in? How many were given out? Nobody knows. And it got even weirder because they only gave them out to folks who were there at Christmas. The new folks were left out, which hurt them to see other folks getting them when they didn't. You have noise in the background there, Dave. It was disgusting.
Oh, yeah. I'm at McDonald's and the little kids place.
Put one of those balls.
I'll just listen on the radio. Anyway,
okay.
But yeah, I mean, here again, I mean, transparency, that's the bottom line.
Right.
And these folks never want to be transparent because if they be transparent, everything won't be revealed. And,
right.
This is McDonald's.
All right. Okay. Well, when they call quiet down, give a call back. Okay. Anyway, finishing this letter, it was disgusting, the writer says. So it's not all bad, and I was helped. But please make sure this recurring theme, if you can. It will help immensely. If they know somebody's always watching or looking over their shoulders, they will be behaving. Thanks for listening, and the party signs. And then he sends another email and says, oh, one last thing. What makes some of the behavior of the staff at U.S. Vets despicable is that the vets are under duress in that if anybody is perceived as a troublemaker, then they're banished. It's a keep your mouth shut or face the consequences situation. And the consequence is back on the street and possibly dead, because if you need U.S. vets, then you're not in good shape mentally or physically. Stay on them, please, he says. So anyway, some things are more important. We can fill the airwaves with all kinds of theories and philosophies and my left, middle, right mindset politically. But when it comes down to it, a real-life aquarium, I will say, or terrarium, exists. And I submit that the Veterans Administration, and these are not just one or single stories. And when you get a chance, if you have an opportunity, if you can even get in touch with them, first of all, let me back up. You got to call in, and then it's a phone call, and this is Jennifer, and leave a number and whatever, and oh, then you finally get a human being. Oh, he's not in. He's somewhere with his thumb up his butt while veterans are struggling. But this is the climate. And there are other emails, and I was reluctant. But then what good is sitting on the air just telling you what I think when I can share with you a reality of what is being experienced? Maybe I can do 10 shows like this, because apparently when I hear back, when I talk to the public relations, Patricia Turan Matthews, and, we both speak English, and I think we had a conversation. But the bottom line is no one is admitting and accepting the fact that it is an obnoxious behavior to allow a vendor to investigate itself and then to continue to submit the clients to this atmosphere of fear and intimidation. So it's a big problem, again, I know some of you will probably have good experiences, and I applaud you, and if you have them, you want to share them, that's fine. But these guys are telling me, Ron Hahn, now this was just last week, he hadn't seen the final investigation that was signed by Andrew Dahlberg and Daryl Vincent, but yet he's the head of the VA office here. And that's, apparently this is his role. But they're so high up that their salaries and their minds and their attitudes are up there in the upper atmosphere, not down here with this little common people, the grunts, who crawl and bang our knees and fighting in the war and doing the dirty work. And when we return with problems, we have to kiss their hands to get in touch with them. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Yes, Carol. I want to ask you a question. I'm blind, so I can't get downtown to see anything. But this YWC, I've met with the New Women's Christian Association.
Uh-huh.
Is that for women? Or?
It's for women. It's for women.
It's only for
only for women.
It's all the veterans you're speaking about are women veterans. Is that correct?
Yes. I'm sorry. Let me get women veterans. Yes.
Because I can't get downtown to see anything after.
It's over on Wilder, Punahou side at that.
I'm blind. I can't get down there.
Oh, okay. But what facility are you in? Or are you?
I'm in a veteran, but I thought you were speaking about the VA up at the Brian Tripler.
Oh, no. No, not that one. This is over in Punahou.
Down in Richard Street, isn't it?
No, Punahou Wilder.
Oh, Punahou Wilder.
Down in that area.
But, I know you said there would be a CA downtown there by Richard Street, I think it was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, okay. If you have any needs or concerns, give me a call.
I listen to you every week, but I didn't know where that place was. That's why I was trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was. It's down at Wilder.
But it's only for women.
Yes, only for women. It's a program they funded, it's reported, 28 $1.4 million and some 35 facilities around the nation.
Yeah, I heard that on the radio. Mm-hmm. I'll visit you all the time. Okay, thanks, Carol.
Hey, thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Cheers, Carol.
All right. Anyway, caller, I'm that called. If you want to try call back, do apologize. It's we want to give equal time, and don't want anybody rushed because while many of us out looking for the golden egg that the goose laid and the painted egg today, some of us are trying to find a place to lay our heads on the sidewalk, and. I don't know what that means, but maybe there's hope. But what I saw in conversation with Ron Hahn, I felt that he had something. I left there with the feeling that he had something himself personally that we all needed, and we should kiss his hand. And but he showed a little compassion, you know, but at a distance. And the reality is I didn't feel, I didn't hear, and I heard, well, we haven't seen that letter. I haven't seen that letter. You have more than I have. I can't talk to you about private matters and this same old game that you get. And it's unfortunate. But again, I think... I'm going to try and hammering on this one because this is the perfect nut to crack. You know, I think if we know where they are, who they are, what they look like, this by design, Governor Abercrombie was there, Colin Kippen was there, Kimberly Pine was there, and all the other high guys, or the guys with rank and file, they should be doing something. But none of them are receptive or avail themselves to the veterans. And living in a climate of fear and retaliation and all of that is just not right. So anyway, that is, I figured, just go ahead and put it out there. But, it's a basic question. And I was saying to you, if there's good things you can say about the veterans, please, you know, outside of you're qualified and you get your check, that's what the Veterans Administration do. You know, if you're disabled and they give you benefits and you can go to AAA and get medical, that's good. But not good enough for veterans. It is what's the old saying? Will wipe out 1,000 attaboys. Well, this is one of those 10 million attaboys when you're feeding veterans by practice now. Spoil meat, or meat may not spoil, but it expired. So I guess expired dates have something to do with spoilage. I don't know. Maybe I'm stretching it, but $28 million in a program, and people are benefiting from that. And the main thrust at the YWCA over here is that a U.S. Vets facility is that they're playing scattergory. They're having to, if you dare speak up, they then retaliate. They take you to the church and force you to work there at the church, because you know you shouldn't be taken to church anyway. You shouldn't be. That's a private matter. It's none of their business. But if you want to step outside and go outside, and you got to sign in, sign out. If you don't sign in, they're going to penalize you if you don't do this. And I know the rules are rules, but step back and look at the bigger picture. This is to enhance, in this case, the women, prepare them to go out and look for a job. Is there much to be had in scattergory? Can you become CEO of maybe you could become a CEO of a toy company or something after you learn to play scattergory. Maybe so. Or if you're making greeting cards for disabled vets, yeah, maybe that would work. But Christmas only come once. And so when you get all of this, where is the enrichment? Where is the quality that $28 million and you were supposedly there were 20 people involved that are going to be housed there, but I think they struggle to keep eight. So anyway, that's not enough of that, but I'll leave it at that. And I've invited the folks on from Veterans Administration. And I would also say that part of the blame is the VFW and all of these guys and the Veterans Administration down there on Lagoon Drive and all of those. You're having, and the Veterans Council, you're having a lot of meetings, folks. But if anybody can feed veterans meat that's been expired and food that is in, and that program is $28 million, all of you need to regroup, revisit, and go back to the center line and find out what your purpose is. Are you for the veterans or are you for yourselves? And have you gotten big-headed? And is it about you and not us? So, I mean, as simple as it is, I wish I could say something nicer, but and it's some of you celebrate Easter. But I don't use the days to figure out how it's going to be said or what I'm going to say. It's facts are facts. And if one human being, not just a veteran, but any human being, but when you're told, welcome to Shangri-La, yeah, you know, US, believe it or not, the U.S. vets over there in Barbara's Point, their address is Shangri-La, some address, you know. Let me tell you something. I don't want to see Shangri-La. I watched a movie that when they talk about Shangri-La. If it's anything like what the veterans are presenting to me now and the clients at this U.S. Vets, I will just pass on Shangri-La. Really. And I'll go put my head in a garbage can and eat from there. When I see people throw away food, because I can say that that's fresh, but I can't trust the U.S. vets or I can't trust the Veterans Administration, because even though I'm not going to the garbage can, anything come out of their refrigerators at the YWCA might be tainted, stale, expired. So you're really taking a greater risk eating out of that refrigerator, but you can't open it. You have to have someone assigned to open it. So anyway, I know it doesn't sound fair probably to many of you, but that's the reality. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Yes, Carol. Good subject. I'm appalled about the vet, VA, and whatnot. What's going on with this food that they're feeding them and whatnot? Concern Eric Shinseki. Isn't he a part in charge of the VA?
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, from what I'm seeing down here at the bottom, it don't work its way to the top. Even though one of the clients wrote and filed many complaints, never a response. And Shinseki and his OIG and everybody else have not contacted and interviewed or done any investigation independent. They've allowed the U.S. vets to do its own investigation and then proceed to retaliate and discriminate and be disparate in their treatment toward the clients.
Right. Very interesting. You know, I'm a son of a veteran, but I'm a son of a 442nd World War II one, and I'm one of the sons and daughters members. I'm going to try to get in touch with Mr. Shinseki and ask him why is he not looking into this. Mm-hmm. Is it because the people in the VA are hiding it from him, or he doesn't know about it, or he knows about it but doesn't want to do anything about it?
Yeah.
Which is really bad, but I'm going to follow up on that then.
Yeah. Well, if you, in your letter, ask him, you know, you can't see everything. There's not a perfect world. But ask why in this situation did they not think to put in place monitors?
Yeah.
Or and progress reports. You know, the client has to do a progress report, supposed to. And so why did the vendor not have some checks and balances installed? If you take our money, then right. you take our rules, right? Uh-huh. But when I spoke to Ron Hahn and the public relations person, oh, we didn't know that. We haven't heard about that. And that's, you know, that's they're doing their own investigation. Wrong. The vendor should not be doing its own investigation when the vendor is being accused.
Right. Should the veterans, all of them, who can do a petition and then send it to whoever in D.C.?
Yeah, they can. But you know what? What I've learned and in talking to Ron Hahn and the His Majesty, and that's what I'll call him, because at the reception, I don't bring lies to you. I bring fact, and I bring hope, hoping that on behalf of the people who beaten down or afraid, and that their last hope is sitting there in that facility thinking that there's some future for them.
Right.
And if they spoke up, they're going to get slapped about, because
right.
there is this, I don't know, it's an evil atmosphere that I've come to learn, and I'm privy. When I say that, it's not just from a glance.
Uh-huh.
I'm privy to many of their interactions, the counselors, the monitors, the Daryl Vincent, for example. He won't talk to me because he's called, but then he'll leave a message, but then he go further and say, I'm not worried about Cox. You know, he's small time.
Right.
So, they could put the name on the list, but you know what? The way the vindictiveness and the retaliation that lay out there, and I'm not offering that to discourage people from doing it. It's just that it's a reality, and
uh-huh.
and somewhere, people like you and like me,
right.
should speak up, because you know we don't really rely on them to give us a bologna sandwich daily,
right?
You know. I was going to say, if you live in one of those facilities, probably the safest thing to do is get you an emergency kit with some antibiotics and some antiseptic, and you know, so every time you eat something, wash it down with some alcohol or antiseptic and antibiotics. You're taking your risk, you know.
Right. Well, I used to work in the military at Marine Corps Base Hawaii here in Kaneohe, so I know a lot of retired officers,
mm-hmm.
colonels, and I know a four-star general. It was a commandant of the Marine Corps. So,
well, if you can use your influence or just ask them, I'm not saying dismantle the facility, but
uh-huh.
at least have someone to reassess the rules. I have their rules, and I have, and it is just horrible.
Uh-huh.
I mean, these are grown-ups. I mean, remember now, these are veterans, right?
Right.
And we can't trust them with the bologna sandwich, but they were sitting there with their finger on the trigger, could shoot a missile, and they were driving tanks and sophisticated machinery.
Right.
And then you bring them in, and you can't trust them with the funny bologna sandwich.
Yeah.
You see, this is why it's like, it's not the retaliation. It's the stupid example that they put out up front, like Ron Hahn. I can't believe that he wasn't appalled. I was thinking, I'm going to hear him throw his phone down and say, you got to be kidding me. No, it was, well, you know, Mr. Cox, you know, thank you for calling. And we really appreciate when people like you call. And, you know,
right.
really, you do?
Uh-huh. Carol, what is Hahn's last name, though?
Hahn, H-A-N.
H-A-N.
Ron Hahn.
Okay.
You know, in the VA sense, it's the Han Dynasty.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You know, so anyway, but I hope that he comes on the show and offer us this one simple insight. Why didn't you have a monitor in place, an independent monitor, requiring that vendor to present its progress and give us some insight, some transparency, and have the veterans, have them to be able to access an external entity, one that is independent.
Right.
You know.
Well, great job, Carol. You're always a great investigative reporter. I enjoy listening to your show, reading your website, and I wish you a happy Easter.
All righty. Thank you.
Aloha.
Good morning, caller. How are you? Got a comment, a question? Good morning, caller. You have a comment, a question? Good morning, caller. Well, lost you there. Try back again. Anyway, Again, this is when I think about the gentleman that wrote about the cash cards. And by the way, remember I talked to you about the charter school. These cash cards, if you are a company out there and you are going to give these cash cards, I would suggest you not do that as donations. I would suggest that you find some way, because as we saw the charter school I reported, there was some allegations that the administrators there abused $10,000 worth of gift cards that they buy and supposed fundraisers. So, again, that seems to be a, if true. Now, I wasn't there. I don't have the facts. But this person, based on that that comment, it causes me to suggest that we need to think about that and how you give and what have you. But it seems to be a repeated occurrence here. So anyway, in the here next hour, we're going to talk about another facility, but it's not. It'll be the Hawaii Youth Corrections, and I've since learned and got some information where there's some concerns over there at the Hawaii Youth System. And you know that they had that federal investigation back in 2004, which was triggered by sexual assaults and other things and infringement on religious rights. And you know the story probably. But apparently there are some charges now, and I'm privy to this information and actually have the actual witness complaint. Now, mind you, it's hadn't been investigated yet, but it is under investigation, and so we won't treat these all as facts. I'll treat them as a letter from the complainant and another letter, but I'll share that with you. And these allegations is that if you can imagine, working at this facility. Now, they've already had the bruises and gotten banged up by the federal government, and they were under management, taken away for a while, and it was being managed privately, or the administrators were released. But what is happening here, the claims that some of the higher-ups, the administrators and the counselors, and some of the counselors are actually bribing some of the folks. When I say the folks, the wards that are there. I was looking at a text, so I apologize for shouldn't be sitting on this at the studio texting and talking. Could be problematic. Anyway, but there at this facility, the Hawaii Youth Corrections Facility, these allegations are they're put in a letter, and I think you might be interested in. And I think, again, there should be an independent investigation on this. But apparently, there is an investigation, and it seems a recurring theme. These state agencies behave in a fashion, a state and federal, the city, behave in a fashion that they try to keep the claims and allegations internally and conduct their own investigation. So this investigation and these allegations have risen to the level of where they're doing polygraphs on the witnesses, the complainant, and I don't know if they've done the one on the accused. But you know polygraph don't stand up in court. So why would the agency try and conduct these things? And they've scheduled a polygraph for the witness who was a ward there but no longer is a ward. He's since was released. And in his statement, he's saying that he's coming clean. It was bothering him. And that he was being bribed And what I'll do is just give you, share with you now a portion of it, and in the next hour we'll cover that. And there's some interesting things about this that as far as union and as far as the state, how the state's handling it. And this is only one facility like this in the state, by the way. But again, this is what this letter, this person is writing, this former ward. I'm asking for legal assistance for processing a discrimination complaint against the state of Hawaii. I was a ward of the HCF and was subject to harassment and retaliation, as stated in my attached statement and discrimination complaint form. And it gives the contact. Please take my letter into consideration. You're the only one that I can help, that can help me, because I'm fighting this on my own. And at the time this was taking place, I was a ward at HYCF. And I was only his age and was clueless, and only now on finding out it was against my rights and illegal. You're my only hope to serve justice and to stop this from happening to other wards. My family supports me in this matter, but we can't afford a lawyer. Thank you for your consideration. And good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
What's up with this whole North Korea thing?
I don't know, man, but shoot.
I mean, like, what's up with this, like, whole North Korea thing? It's like, are people, like, still going to be alive in North Korea or what?
Are they going to be what now?
Are they still going to be alive in North Korea? Are they not going to get, like, shot or anything?
Kurt, I have no idea. I wished I could predict that or tell you anything. I don't know if they're rattling the swords or we're rattling the swords, and if we're being told one thing and is it true. So I have no way of giving you any logical explanation, or it would be just a guess.
Oh, I know it would be just a guess, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to speculate, but then, you know, it's like I would say tuck, tumble, and roll, you know, because there's nothing you and I can do. I mean, we can't even have a gun nowadays, you know. Mr. Barack Obama and the rest of the crew, they say everything about a gun, you got to, you know. So I don't know. Maybe we just... For me, the situation is, I have no control. I guess I would personally just put on a bullseye and say, aim here, because you know, I'm not going to stress out about it. So really, don't know. It's one of those things. When it comes, and we're lucky if we don't get it, and hopefully it doesn't happen. To be honest with you,
hopefully it doesn't happen to us, because yeah. You know, we don't want to die. We just want to still be alive.
Yeah, well, that's why we need to tell our government to we can't be the police around the world, and we don't know. I don't know anything about our relationship with South Korea other than what I hear in the news and see on TV and what the military tells us. So I really wouldn't be able to offer you any informed opinion about it. I would honestly, I'd just be talking smoke.
So I wouldn't want to get shot by I wouldn't want to get shot by some guy, because I would want to be alive forever.
Well, yeah, I agree with you, but I don't want to burst a bubble. You won't be alive forever, even if the Koreans don't come. So, you know, the reality check. But call me back in the next hour, and we'll take this up. We're gonna.
Is this?
Who is this?
Well, what's your name?
Carol Cox.
Carol who?
Cox.
What's up, Carol Cox?
How are you?
This is Jacob from Milwaukee.
All right. Well, good morning. And call me back in the next hour, and you're welcome to offer your thoughts and your concerns, okay?
Okay.
Aloha. Right. Anyway, we'll close down this hour, and we'll talk about the Hawaii Youth Correction Facilities. And I don't know if I didn't play this song for this purpose, but it's called Falling Like Dominoes. So that's the way it is, I guess. Anyway, for those of you out there that celebrate Easter, happy Easter. And those of you don't, I understand, and stay tuned. Aloha.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu.
This is KWAI Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Another beautiful day right here in Hawaii. So, a little haze in the air, but you can see the poly and spectacular, man. Not much wind and sunny, just really awesome. So shouldn't have any problems finding your eggs and finding the dinner table. But anyway, we were talking, I started talking about the situation at the Hawaii Youth Correction Facility. And there's a young man who I read the first letter. And for those of you that are just joining or wondering, didn't get it all, I'm not going to mention the names and the allegations here, and these are just allegations now. I mean, I've had things written and said about me, and you don't get your chance. So what happens is that we'll treat them as allegations, but it raises many issues, and it also gives an opportunity to talk about the bigger picture as the children's sake, the welfare of the children, and with this, through interviews of some of the officers, the correction officers, it's a very volatile, fragile, sensitive, everyone walking on eggshells, to include the upper management, to include the union, because of that previous legal action taken by the United States Justice Department. And so what you're finding, as I read this, I'll share with you some of the other insights, and I've spoken with the officers quite naturally. I did speak with the party that is filing this complaint, the young man that I read his letter, and I'll read more. But there are some interesting things, and if they're not attended to soon, we will be right back in the situation that we found ourselves in 2004 with the Department of Justice, because the administrators involved are fearful that they don't want this to happen again. So they're going to be extra careful, and they're going to be responding to any little thing. And then, as some of the officers say, you get punished for breathing probably. You're going to have your share of bad players and the officers. You're going to have the bad players in the administration. And, in fact, in this case, this young man is saying that an administrator offered to pay him to set up a correction officer, falsely set up. And this young man wrote this letter. So on the day that I was confronted by, I'm not going to mention names, and my policy is normally we do mention names, but I don't want to interfere for the sake. I want to just share with you, when you see this, it should go the news, and I think it will. I was confronted by Mr. Blank in his office about my escorted pass with another officer. He pretty much put me in a spot. I didn't feel comfortable. He told me that my story didn't match the story of the other gentleman. Then he was going to pursue the escape charge on me. He always said that if it doesn't match up, I was going to get waivered to OCCC. So now, let me go back. This administrator that he's speaking to now has already been, I spoke to the party that filed a complaint, and that party said that this party agreed, the state settled with that party, that this administrator had acted improperly. But he's still working there. And now this administrator is again being accused and is under investigation. I'm informed that he is on now administrative leave with pay. So at the time, I was going along with the story because I had too much going on already for myself with my family. And I wasn't going to put myself in a predicament that I wasn't going to be able to come home. I told the officer, the administrator, that everything that was being said from this person wasn't true, but he pretty much threatened me to make the story sound exact. And if it wasn't exact, I was going to be waivered to OCCC. So isn't it amazing? Imagine a young man who, whatever he's in for, at any time, if you don't do, you can be intimidated, or someone can just walk down the hall and sign a paper and you're sent from a youth correction facility to OCCC. And then I did confirm that and spoke with some people that worked there, and it is that simple when you hear this overall climate. So I think there should be another investigation based on this, because you can't make this stuff up. The incident didn't occur. I only agreed to what was said because of the fact that the administrator was threatening me. I wanted to become clean because I wanted the truth to be known about how everything went down, and to be true about the party that was being accused is a caring person, caring officer. All he ever wanted to do is help us achieve our goal in life. If you have any questions, please contact me. So this young man, and he goes on, and this is a list of things, and someone delivered these to me because they believe that I would be able to tell the truth, put it out there, and let you listen to it. So he's reporting now that there is a counselor, or their social worker or counsel, that there's two of them there. One tried to bribe me to lie about staff. So if you can imagine, there's an administrator who wants to do in another party there at the facility, an officer, another employee. So you get a child or one of the youth, these are the allegations, you get a youth to lie and manufacture it. And so that youth then get treatment of cigarettes or allowed to get certain special treatment, or will, in one instance, he talk about paying, having money being offered to him, and giving cigarettes towards. The social worker tried to bribe him and to make false statements about another staff. Then they came to this person, this young man, and asked him to lie about another officer who transports them, and tried to get them to do him to lie about getting special privileges. These are all things in the letter and the complaint that this young man is talking about. Now, it goes on to they tried to bribe me to say false things against the staff, bribe me to lie about a certain officer. And he names these, and it's over repeatedly, over and over and over. So there's something wrong, and it should be investigated. There really, now, as that is happening, imagine being an officer there in working in that facility. And what is the union doing? The union is the claim now by the employees is that is represented by the HGEA and the UPW, is that they more likely are to do a hands-off and don't get involved because they know any bigger problems might result in privatization of this facility, and they would lose their money and their power. This is what some of the officers have expressed. And so... That is what they said, that the union, this is some of the officers, the union will not step in fast. And one of the other things is that there are two people that are now being accused, and they've already been found guilty. And the complaints were confirmed. And yet they're being still employed. Good morning, caller. You have a comment, a question?
Hello? Hey, what's up, Carol Cox?
How are you?
Good. This is Jacob calling in from Mililani.
Okay, Jacob. We got to give you about 2 minutes or so. What you got now?
I think people shouldn't use guns because it's illegal and... people might die if, like, somebody gets shot, you know?
Mm-hmm. Are you okay, Jason? Jacob?
Huh?
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I didn't know if I needed to get some help for you there. You sound a little... but you're okay.
Yeah, Yeah.
Okay.
So number one seed against
so
Duke.
You got the noise there, brother. You got
oh, sorry.
You, yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to check to see if you're all right. That's why I said go ahead.
Hey, I'm actually listening to the NCAA tournament.
Okay.
All right. I think I'm going for I think I'm going for Michigan in the Final Four and the national championship.
Okay. Well, let's talk later about the game. I'm going to take it to the hoop on this subject, okay? All right, brother. Thank you. Aloha. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question? Hello? Anyway, if you're going to call in, be patient. And I don't want to be rude to anyone. And you just never know what's going on in the background or with the individual. So if you wonder why I answer and entertain things so abruptly, just know I have my concerns. And you'll understand, too, if you found yourself in similar situations as I found over myself in over the years, you just never know how fragile people or things can be, and so you want to be careful. Anyway, good morning, caller. Come in a question.
Hi, Carol. I'm a kind of high-level contact in the state, and, you know, there is one officer that is currently placed on leave for 9 years and counting.
Nine years.
And after you get off the phone with me and you investigate this, you will find out. There was currently an officer this year that was brought back to the facility after 8 years of being on leave.
With pay.
Basically.
With his leave with pay?
Leave with pay. $43,000 a year.
For nine.
Securing vacation, securing, you know, mm-hmm. all these benefits. And he just recently brought back this year, 2013.
What happened
was there was allegations against this youth correctional officer 8 years ago when the old administration was in effect. And basically they forgot about him. When the new administration came in, they realized that, oh, damn, this guy is out on leave 8+ years. And there was no, they brought him back,
mm-hmm.
and there was no administrative investigation, nothing.
Really?
Yes.
And what facility is this at?
You get off the phone with me, you can research it yourself and bring it up on the next week's show.
Mm-hmm.
And as we are currently talking, there's one more individual right now as we speak, 9 years and counting, out on leave from the facility. So what's happening is these people are being placed on leave. These YCOs are being placed, youth correctional officers, 20% of the force on work comp.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is when there's a fracas or something going on with the youth and they're fighting, you know, they're taught this technique of PRT, this restraint technique where you have to come up from behind and grab them. And that's the only technique these youth correctional officers can use mm-hmm. against these kids. So these guys use this technique or have to, you know, jump in the middle of the fracas and they get hurt. 20% of them are off on work comp, which mm-hmm. leaves some officers now currently at the facility, Carol, working 40 hours straight.
40 hours, not leaving the facility, just staying there or taking a break or what?
No, staying at the facility, overtime, mandatory. They have to stay. It's in their contract when they sign up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now,
but, yes.
What about the union? Some of the officers that shared some information with me are concerned that the union is really not stepping up to the plate for the employees. Do you share the same concerns or information?
That's partially true. Only when they are pressed to do something or someone calls 8, 9, 10 times, then they get back to that individual. Other mm-hmm. than that, they just let it go.
Mm-hmm. Is there an agreement of sort between, if someone said they believe that there's an actual informal agreement that the union will allow the administration to do internal investigations and handle these matters internally, because if it goes out and leaves their hands, then there's a chance of the union, this thing blowing up and becoming privatized. Have you heard anything about that?
No, that I don't know. That I'm sorry, I can't tell you I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But what I can tell you is, as a taxpayer, I'm pissed that, and this is confirmed, there's someone, a youth correctional officer, that was put on disciplinary leave 9 years ago that's mm-hmm. still on leave, and there was one that was placed on administrative leave 8 years ago mm-hmm. that just came back, and mm-hmm. I'm pissed. How mm-hmm. the hell can you put somebody on 8 years of leave, no investigation, forget about them, $43,000 a year, while your vacation, medical benefits are all taken care of?
And what facility was this, Sabra? What specific did he work in? Which unit or which, what do they call it? It's in Kailua, correct?
That's in Kailua, the Hawaii Youth Correctional
okay.
Facility.
And when did he return back?
One of them just returned back this year, or was it late last year?
Mm-hmm.
It was sometime within a few months ago after being on leave for 8 years, Harold. Yeah. 8 years. Mm-hmm. And when he returned, no investigation was done. It's like, oh, I forgot about you. Come on back. What did you do? What was that claim against you? We'll just forget about that. Yeah, come on back.
Mm-hmm. Can you
dig deep into that. Dig deep into that. You will be shocked. And the people out there listening to your show will be shocked mm-hmm. that there are two people placed on leave 8 years plus, full pay.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you could do me a favor, you know where we would be, like trying to scratch through a steel plate with our fingernails to get that information. Is it possible you send me an anonymous letter without your name on it to
yeah.
a P.O. box?
I got your information. I'll send you an email with names,
please
times,
do.
And places. But I just wanted to put that out there. Maybe someone will call in and confirm that, but it's ridiculous.
Okay.
You know, basically, youth correctional officers there, they have allegations against them, and like you said, they're walking on eggshells. If mm-hmm. they think it's something big or something that can get them in trouble as a whole,
mm-hmm.
if they'll put these people on leave.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a whole thing with cahoots going on. Some of the social workers, not all, some of the social workers are in on it, too.
Right.
They, you know, like you said, that kid is telling the truth. They do come in. They do work in cahoots. They do bribe the kids. If a certain youth correctional officer is not with the old school hooey, so to say,
mm-hmm.
guards that have been there 10, 15, 20 years, if this officer is coming in and the kids really like him, they get jealous.
Mm-hmm.
Then they make claims against the new guards. And that's why, if you do your research, see how many guards left for other jobs. See how many guards got fired for BS reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see. You'll bring it up on your show next week after you research this. But my time is limited. I got to run.
Hey, well,
hopefully
thank you.
I provided some information for you that you could research.
Please do, and then I will share that with the others and the federal authorities, too, if out there.
Aloha.
Aloha. Thank you. Bye. Anyway, I want you to understand, I'm not trying to play cops and robbers here and do anything of that sort. This is about children, about a system, and I think when I was looking into this matter, as I am, here's what, it's a sad commentary about, this seemed to repeat itself. You can take this template and lay it over any state, city, or federal agency now. For some reason, there have been an illness that have gotten into the psyche of the administrators. And I don't know, I wouldn't know where to start, if it's from the governor that's in whether it's Lingle, Abercrombie, or Waihee, or whomever, or Cayetano. I don't know if it starts there and dictate down, or if it works from the bottom up, but that this element of fear and retaliation and vindictiveness and manipulation, and in this case, they're manipulating the children. Children that are being taken and incarcerated and supposedly making them whole again and reconstituting them or what have you, whatever term you want to use that would apply. But the reality, they are being used as pawns in a system that is supposed to be prepping them to go back out into society, but then they're met with trickery, and as they're claiming. And I actually have another complaint, a party that is actually confirming what the child said. Again, as you heard the caller said, that It's confirmed and it's true. But again, this there's an CY off an officer saying he talked to this child, this kid, and he reported that while in A model at SCF, ACS-1, the supervisor offered him $25 to punch this officer in the face. So this is the kind of things, and folks, it's going to get worse before it get better. Good morning, caller. You have a comment, a question?
I do. What a great example we as adults are setting for children, aren't we? We should just be so proud of ourselves here.
Mm-hmm.
The kids that are there have issues and have problems, and they look to the adults for guidance, for goodness sakes. And if they can't look up to the adults in this situation to guide them and help them, then what happens to their psyche? You know, then they're going to go back into society and commit crime based on the fact that they've been threatened or taught that it's okay to
mm-hmm.
do this
mm-hmm.
In a system, an environment, in a workplace. I mean, there's just so many problems with this on so many levels. It's the most unprofessional behavior. But business as usual, isn't it?
Yeah.
Business as usual. This is how, you know, some people conduct business. And, you know, you've got other people, when you work in that kind of hostile environment, I mean, that's against the law, for one, to create a hostile work environment like that. And can you imagine the intimidation of the other folks that are just trying to go to work and do their job in this tough economy? And then you throw in the fact that there's children walking around scared. They're already scared that they're in a system, for God's sake.
Mm-hmm.
And now not only are they in a system because of, you know, their circumstances, but now the adults that are supposed to be professionals are conducting themselves in this way. It's appalling.
Yeah,
it really is.
Imagine in this letter, there's an officer writing to confirm, and I've spoken to another officer who left the state because he had a problem and successfully filed a complaint against this party, the administrator that is involved in being the allegations made against now. But this party states that the administrator told him to punch this gentleman in the face for $25 when the child was complaining about the officer for subtracting points for rule violations. And he declined to offer the offer then, even though he was upset about losing points and did express to the administrator that I was a fair and fair staff and that I have helped him achieve upper-level status. And this incident happened in 2012. Now, again, there is the child, I call it a child, he's a young man now. He's making the allegations. There are two officers corroborating. Again, they're allegations from my standpoint, but they do have the officer or the administrator now on administrative leave, I'm told. And then there is an investigator, Mr. Vincent Chan, within house that is actually doing polygraphs. Does that make sense? So, you know, in the danger of polygraphs, if they can be used certain ways, if they want to say inconclusive, if it's something that will benefit, right? So you don't really arrive at it to tell a lie or tell if they're lying or telling the truth. So this whole thing seems to be an internal effort to contain itself so that the federal government or others don't get involved. And so they're containing. And the folks that run that place is David Hipp and a couple other folks, Al Carpenter and but anyway, the names, there are just many people. And apparently, if this thing is get its right investigation, I think we're going to find some very serious problems there.
Well, let's hope so that this show will get people talking and get some action. This is just wrong on so many levels. So many, it seems like not just rules are being broken, but laws are being broken here.
Mm-hmm.
And you got whistleblower, you got, you know, all kind of things. And you know, some of these places, you know, it's business, like I said, business as usual, and they just follow along with what's going on. Good. Thank goodness this kid spoke up and had the courage. He's to be commended for the courage to speak out and speak up for himself and for others. And that's to be commended. What a wonderful young man, whether he's got troubles or not, to be able to speak out and speak up. That takes a brave person.
But imagine standing up, speaking out, and then it's submitted back to the same cesspool that's going to run and investigate it and cover it up. What message does that send that child?
That's what I mean. Yeah, that's just appalling. But at least he was able to get a note to you and feel like it still bothers him. Obviously, that this is going on and he's trying to do something about it. So he's to be commended as well as you, Carol. And thank you very much. Happy Easter.
All righty.
All right, Derek.
Aloha.
Bye bye.
So that you folks will know that I've spoken to a number of officers there at that facility. And many of you would be in your right mind, and it's okay to, not trust everything you hear and all. But I'm inclined to believe, based on my investigative skills and also just people coming to you. This one came to me because they approached me. I had no knowledge of any of this going on, and they approached me and asked me. And with this, the officer that filed a complaint and was successful in that complaint a while back reportedly overheard this administrator making this offer of $25 to punch this gentleman in the face, the other officer in the face, and set him up. And that person then, there's three other people that have shared the same, three other officers. But he goes on that this officer witnessed and heard the administrator telling this to the child. And he said that I contacted the officer, this is another officer writing, and that same day by phone and verified the child's statement. And the child also stated that on a separate occasion, the administrator bribed and then threatened him, forcing him to make a statement that I, the officer writing this, was giving extra privileges to him and other wards. And so he's saying, I asked, why are you telling this now? He answered by saying that he felt guilty, wanted to come clean, and that he wants to stop this type of bribery and threats because this has happened to other wards. He further stated that the administrator has targeted other YCOs, youth correctional officers. So, again, I know we all have our concerns and opinions of the officers and their state employees but let's just stand back and those of you out there that have influence, ask the governor to have an investigation. I've already referred some of this to the authorities, these documents. Clearly, it's not my intent to sit here and just talk about it. I think there should be some justice both to the officers, to the children, and some punishment to the administrators who think that they can get in and live in a cesspool of trickery, bribery, influence, and what have you, and it's just wrong. And I know that we've heard stories about some of the officers, but the PRT, physical restraining technique, that was one of the concerns in the earlier investigation back in 2004. There was a concern that one administrator or staff, we'll call it staff, I don't remember what it was, an ACO or a AYO, CYO, but had grabbed the genitals or of the testicles of a young man, and he was fired and what have you. And yes, there was one that had sex with one of the female, we'll call them wards or inmates, whatever the proper name is. But things like that happen. We know that in many places. But again, let's give the officers the benefit of the doubt. But the benefit of the doubt will never be afforded if, in fact, it's being investigated and submitted and the findings kept in-house, we don't hear it as taxpayers and as private people. We don't hear these things. We would never know of them because it's internal. And, you know, they're going to utter this. Well, it's a privacy matter. But under the CRIPA, the Civil Rights of Institutionalized Persons Act, that's a federal law, I think, once again, it would be justified and asking the federal government to investigate. This party had also sent a letter to the ACLU, who was instrumental in filing legal action in the earlier cases. But this complaint in 2004, or back in that time in 2005 when they finally did a report, it spoke to the handling of the children or the wards. And as a result, they, I guess, you know, that eggshell and what have you, being afraid of their own shadows, the administrators, and which translates into real strict rules on the CYOs. For example, I'm told now that the officers have to punch in a time clock every 10 minutes because they're concerned. The justification is that they're concerned that a child would commit suicide or attempt to commit suicide. But if a child is that fragile, should he be in that facility? And do you have a psychologist on staff? Well, I've checked and called around. I was not able to find – I've called and asked people, can you tell me who the psychologist is? Or is there one on 24 hours? And I was informed that one is there from 2 to 5 maybe. There may be a nurse on staff. But imagine having to punch a clock every 10 minutes. Now, mind you, in the earlier investigation in 2004, there was a young lady who attempted suicide with her bra and tying it on the bed, and while others were, the officers were close by but not paying attention or distracted. So the administration, to avoid that, they now require the officers to do a check-in every 10 minutes. Now, I'm told at Halava, they don't check in at all. They don't punch a clock. So there are some very serious concerns that these officers, and I'm not defending anyone, but if you look at this, this is a cocktail of sort, just waiting to develop into bigger troubles, and we'll be back in the federal courts, and we will be back losing control of this facility, and probably children will be shipped out because, or something. Some drastic measures would probably have to be taken after the second time around. Good morning, Carly. Have a comment, a question? Good morning.
Hey, Carol. I have more information on that situation where that supervisor offered the kid $25 to punch the other officer.
Okay.
Okay. In 2012, that person was a supervisor. And what had happened was another youth correctional officer had filed a civil rights violation against the supervisor. Okay? Because this was very stressful for that youth correctional officer who filed that complaint against the supervisor, he ended up leaving the youth correctional facility for another job. In the meanwhile, this supervisor was found guilty. Okay? But what did they do to cover this up? They gave him a promotion.
Really?
His promotion, yes. His promotion and his official title right now is a grievance officer.
He was promoted after the violation and being found settled out of what was settled in mediation? Because I don't remember. I tried to search for such a case. And
no, Carol, this was internal.
This was internal.
He got the supervisor. His position was supervisor in 2012, and the youth correctional officer filed a complaint against the supervisor for civil rights violations, calling basically was calling him names, leaving inappropriate type comments relating to his race on his cell phone, and the officer kept all this.
Mm-hmm.
So because of, you know, because of stress from other officers there, he was kind of iced out.
Mm-hmm.
He left. The youth correctional officer left the facility because of all this, and I don't blame him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I believe he went back to the mainland.
Right.
In the meantime, after this supervisor was found guilty of civil rights violations, he got a promotion
mm-hmm.
to grievance officer.
Now, I did some phone calls also and found that another, the title is CS1, I'm not going to mention the name, is in charge of CYOs, was found guilty of civil rights violation for sexual, gay, and comments and what have you, while he was a recreational administrator, and now he's in charge of the CYOs. Is that true?
Okay, that I cannot confirm.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard something like that, but I can confirm this situation that you're talking about mm-hmm. right now.
Mm-hmm.
How the heck can he be found guilty of a civil rights violation as a supervisor, supervising all these youth correctional officers, found guilty because the youth correctional officer left the facility, no longer employed by the state, to cover it up and not to get this out? That's why he didn't hear about it. He was given a promotion. Now he's mm-hmm. a grievance officer.
Mm-hmm.
And now this kid who's no longer in the facility, you know, is feeling bad about all the stuff he has to lie about to good officers.
Mm.
Now this guy who got promoted to grievance officer is now on leave again. What are they going to do? Make him facility manager after this? This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I hope someone out there, governor's listening. I hope the feds are listening. But this type of things has to stop immediately. Because
mm-hmm.
like you said, the kids are in there for stuff that they did bad. Maybe they came from broken families. And all the youth correctional officers can do is provide them guidance and show them the right way.
Mm-hmm.
But when you got corrupt people like this offering kids $25 to punch another youth correctional officer, A, because maybe he filed a complaint, or B, because he's not playing ball, that is just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Sends a message to these kids. They go in worse, they come out better, you know, so to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you've seen on the news where the kid came out of youth correctional and, you know, then he gets arrested for a bigger crime. It's just ridiculous, Carol. I hope that, like I said, our government officials are listening to this.
Well, they will start listening one way or the other. Will. And I applaud the officers that, I mean, to answer the phone to a guy like me, cold calling you. You don't know me from Adam. I could be the guy who set you up, or go back and I want to share with the listeners that every single one that I've called was upfront and open and forthright with information. They weren't trying to influence me. It was just the willingness. And most people don't do that. So there is a real problem out there. It's not a perception. There's some problems there at that facility.
Yes, and I believe they did that because you're right. There's problems. They're tired of it. There's some officers there that just go along with the so-called, the mm-hmm. clique, there's certain cliques there, the older guys. That there's even a guy that always comes in an hour late, and then the supervisors in the booth cover for him
mm-hmm.
almost every day. So, you know, there's things going on like that. If you were to place someone out there with a camera filming this individual coming in an hour late and ask them later about it, you know, people will get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
That's my taxpayers' money.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you coming an hour late for this shift? Other youth correctional officers that have maybe less years than this guy's, you know, going to complain, but just because this guy has 15 or 20 years, he can't be touched.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm talking about. There's certain cliques out there. You know, I ain't ashamed to come on the radio because they don't know my voice from Jack.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know a lot about what goes on over there.
Well, make sure, and if you would, as I say, anonymity, and if you want to, you can also send me something at email. You know how to send blind email, or go to Gmail and set something up. But please keep me informed with whatever you got, and I will funnel it to the right sources. Believe you me.
This is just the tip of the iceberg.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get more information to you. I'll clear the line and let other callers through. But thanks again.
Aloha. Thank you again.
Aloha.
Well, am I making something out of nothing here, or am I taking a molehill and turning it into a mountain, or, you know, the usual? I offer this. This is a facility that if these allegations are just at the fact that them being bantered about, that the exchange of you'd have to be very crafty to lie like this and the documents. And as I say, I spoke to the young man, and again, there's a very fine line when you cross that threshold. You know, there is a need to have this investigated. So I'm carefully trying my best to not contaminate or jeopardize anything by letting the cat out of the bag, or so to speak. But the reality is, in the scheme of things, what would happen? This is how it would. Why I chose to do this without approaching it this way. The officers would never have the voice, because if the federal government gets the first dibs at it, and bam, it's going to be nightmarish, and you know, it's everyone there that has the term title officer is immediately condemned. Just that's the way the investigation. You start separating, and you know, and you're going to compartmentalize everyone until you interview. So the officers would never get their voice heard, and that's not to take sides or anything. But before we do, just get it out there, air it out, so that when the investigation, and I'm sure there will be one conducted, external investigation, independent, that these things are put on the table. Because if you fail to address, that report didn't really address in 2005 of that was written August, that report didn't really address the greater details of how the whole thing works, how the officers are impacted, the overtime, the activities with the administrators, these kinds of things. See, that they didn't ask those questions. They didn't ask that. Were the kids being bribed? Were they being set up? Were they trained? This process trains them to be extortionists, in a sense. I mean, if you learn how to do it now, you could become a well-seasoned hitman, because you spent your last 2-3 years in there doing favors for the big man. That's why I played the big boss man, because to say to you that this climate is only going to lend itself to trouble. And the fact that it's telling that Hip, Carpenter, and the others failed to go externally outside and invite the federal government in to work as a team to address these things, or have an independent investigator to come in. They're going to do it themselves. So that in itself is reason enough to initiate an investigation. Just the mere handling of it, how the current administration at that facility or within the youth facilities. I would have liked to have gotten more information on their part of it before I talked about this, but I went to their website, and my goodness, it's all you get is a blank screen. And this was late last night, so they can't say it was completely used. I had to then go through the back door to just get any kind of information to speak about this. But there are at least three social workers who there are examples and situations and stories told about them. So, and these are individuals that are telling these stories, different individuals. So they would have to sit down and lie perfectly. And the one thing about this one, they know the internal mischievous, devious behavior that's going on. They know the counselors and the administrators, and they know. But why would they be willing to sit and tell a lie to those people that will turn around and bash them? So I submit that the proof is in the pudding. It is that bad, and the officers that were involved in coming forward with this, and there were a lot of them and a lot more. And I hope that I can facilitate this. I don't have any power to conduct an investigation of that facility, and it would be a one-man band playing to a 20,000-member audience. It would be similar to that. I would get very little or anything accomplished, because these administrators are seasoned. And they have come from facilities down in Louisiana and all over the place. They've worked, and so they know the game. we don't know the game as taxpayers and citizens, concerned citizens. So anyway, the originally, I'm told, I did some reading backwards, and it says that originally I spoke to you about 10 minutes checking in, stamping the clock. It was 30 minutes, and so they said it was suicide to punch the clock. So when you add and stack all of this on the shoulders of the officer, you're going to have some problems. And this is the only facility in the state, so can it endure another investigation? Can it stand up, or will they shut it down, or will they privatize it? And again, I'm digressing here and being repetitive, but there's something to be said about the union's action. What is the union doing? Some of the officers expressed concern that, as I said earlier, they just want the money. But there's this thing evolving, and they won't be able to counter it. They won't be able to fight it. The officers will lose their jobs, not because they were found guilty of anything, but because the union sits on its thumbs. And that's I'm told, I read somewhere what says HGEA also represent a few of them. I don't know that to be fact, but the thing that I read, and if there's some correction to be made, please don't hesitate to call me and correct that. But again, I hope that I haven't presented this as if screaming the little boy with screaming wolf when there is no wolf, but knowing the officers and having a law enforcement background, the worst thing in the world is to have an administration that is out to get you. And they don't have to be out to get you, but their actions leaves you with the perception. So you're not alert. And mind you now, there's always we have our – in every situation, we have our share of lazy officers, we have a share of crooked officers, we have a share in every situation, whether it's in the FBI or U.S. Marshal, there's always going to be someone amongst the officers or the cadre of the ranks that's going to have poor judgment. Let's accept that. But you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater in this situation. Officers are being impacted, and imagine any day you'd be fired or put on leave or set up, and these are federal violations, civil rights violations. Imagine you reacting, but you have an administrative force, or the administrators, who are so nervous about it, and they don't want to lose, so they keep it internally. And at the end of the day, they all become conspirators in this process. So, again, for the sake of the children, I hope that I haven't done anything to cripple this. I'm pretty sure I haven't, but there should be an investigation on this matter. But again, thank you all for listening, and I've taken enough of your time. But that, again, I had started talk about the physical restraining technique. What I'm told and what I saw in that report, they addressed that, I guess, out of concerns that it would be too much or to avoid roughhousing or playing or to restrain a person, not to hurt them. So I'm told this policy over there is that you're limited to one attempt where you swipe your hands in the back and put them on the shoulder to restrain the person. What if that fails? Or what if that officer isn't? And I'm told that you can only do that once or twice, and then it become abuse. So anyway, I will talk to you next week, and I got a lot more to talk about. It didn't get to the Board of Water Supply, and we're still looking at the Congresswoman with a sweet tooth, and we'll get on past that and see you next week. Aloha.
There was a time the dance I used to do. They call them mad potatoes.
Every Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108. Tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show right here at KWAI Honolulu.